As I mentioned, we are taking a break from Jeremiah, and we're going to be in Lamentations for our message today, and I'm going to be reading from chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 for our second scripture reading. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, that's going to be on page 796. So chapter 1, verse 1. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She, who was queen among the provinces, has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, there is no one to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her appointed festivals. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young women grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from daughter Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, as you were probably looking at the verses for today, you might have been thinking, when was the last time I heard a sermon on Lamentations? Well, what's going on here? Well, as we've been going through this journey of following Jeremiah, the prophet, through the different judgments he had prophesied at the Lord's command to Judah, it painted a bleak picture. Because of their sins and turning to worthless idols, Israel was judged. And finally, they were judged to the point of being exiled. And this is where Lamentations picks up. This is after the exile, and some scholars say that the author of Lamentations is Jeremiah, as he's left in Judah and he's walking through a desolate Jerusalem after Babylon has besieged the city and then taken people away. Most people ascribe Lamentations to Jeremiah as the weeping prophet. So what is this book really about? Well, it is a lament. That's not a word that we typically hear in everyday conversation, to lament. What does that really mean, to lament? Well, in a time of sorrow, great sorrow, typically, a person will cry out to God to look at the situation around and cry and mourn and weep and pour out everything to God. And this is what the book of Lamentations is about. It is the author lamenting to God, pouring out his heart over the devastation of the judgments and exile of her people. But it's kind of hard in today's church, right? We look at something like this, And it's hard to make that connection. Like, how do we really put ourselves into the minds of Jeremiah, or of the exiles who are now taken out of Judah and taken to the Babylonian Empire? Well, one way, you can continue on with the other books of the Old Testament, like Daniel. That's a really great book about the exile. But how do we really get into this? Well, it's back to that lament. And in the past couple weeks, I've asked you to reflect on several different questions. As we look at this section, I'm going to ask, when's the last time you poured out your heart to God? Yes, this situation is very different from our current context, but in the same way, we still have the trials and tribulations in today's society. Anyone who has turned on the news in the past couple months can tell you that there is chaos in the world. There is war in Gaza, the war in Ukraine, all the political violence going on in the United States today, and in Europe, there is more political violence, protests, demonstrations. There is so much chaos that we too can look at the world and lament to God. One of the previous sermons I talked about intercessory prayer, of where we looked around and would see hurts, we would see evil, we would see heartache, we would see those who are lost, and ask, are you seeing with God's eyes? Because when you see all of that, does your heart break and do you call out to God? In the same way, as we look at this passage, are we calling out to God for His salvation? Are we calling out to God, pouring out our hearts to Him? A lot of times, when people go to church, there is this idea of, oh, I'm supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to have a smile on my face and come in the doors. How are you today? I'm great. How are you? And everything's hunky-dory, but our lives aren't always like that, are they? It is okay to hurt. It is okay to mourn, to weep. And when we come together as the body of Christ, we comfort each other. If you're looking to 2 Corinthians, with the first chapter, Paul talks about us giving the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. When He's comforted us in times of crisis, we can then comfort others. We come together as the body of Christ to hold each other up, so we can share our laments with each other. This is a church family. This is a place where we love each other, we come beside each other, hold each other up. Because of the love of God that we have received, we give love to others when they need it. But have you lamented recently? Have you poured out your heart to God? It's interesting, as you read through the book of Lamentations, how the author will see all this devastation, will weep for his people, but then does something amazing. As we read in chapter 3, he turns to God and still proclaims that God is his refuge, that God is his strength. And we too turn to God in times of mourning, sorrow, tribulation, and say, Holy God, You are my strength. You are my refuge. And how do we know that? Because of the gospel message. where God looked down on a world that was broken, that was mourning, that was crying out for something. Even if they didn't know who God was, they were still crying out. And God said, I'm not going to let that be. God knows the cost of sin. He tells us the road with the wages of sin is death. But we are his children. And he said, I'm not going to leave you that way. Have you poured your heart out to God? Now, Paul tells us in Romans that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord and Savior, we will be saved. He also tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You see, God is not passive, just waiting for us to figure things out, and then, oh God, I need you, then there you are, you're the one who can save me. No, he's been working in the world the whole time. He's been working salvation history from Genesis 3, the fall. This whole time, God has been working in the world, and he calls us. The Holy Spirit touches our hearts, and we are able to say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And at that point, we are raised from dead to life. Did you know that you were dead before Jesus? If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, you know that you're dead. Ephesians 2. Paul says, we were dead in our transgressions. John chapter 3, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, that we need to be born again. Without Jesus, without the power of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're dead. Let that sink in. Without Jesus on the cross paying for our sins, Jesus raising from the dead, giving us life, without that gospel message, we are dead. Have you poured out your soul to God? Have you called Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Has he come in to regenerate your soul? If not, hear the truth of the gospel message. That Jesus Christ stepped down out of heaven, his rightful throne, became a servant, obedient unto death, to bring us back to life. Have you poured out your heart to God? Now, as I mentioned earlier, this is a very special day that we get to celebrate both sacraments in one service. And as we prepare to come to the table, we get to celebrate the breaking of the bread, which is Christ's body broken for you. We get to drink of the cup, Christ's blood shed for the remissions of sin. His blood shed for you to cover your sins and to bring you back to life. And as we come to this table and profess Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, we commune with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and we are filled so that we can then do what? And we can go out and proclaim Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's an amazing privilege to come to the table of God. So I can't let this opportunity pass. Is there anyone here who would like to proclaim Jesus as their Lord and Savior and come be baptized. Anybody? I pray that we're all saved, but I can't let the opportunity pass. If there's someone in here with God pulling at their heartstrings to be baptized, it is here now for you before we take communion. I'll take that as a good sign that we all know the sisters of Christ. So as we come to this time of communion, I would like to take a moment of silent prayer and reflection. When we come to this table, we need to come to it with a clean heart. Paul warns in 1 Corinthians, if you come to the table with malice in your heart, that's not a good thing. We can go to that sermon another time. But I want to let you take this opportunity to have a silent prayer, to go before God, to prepare your hearts and minds to commune with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let us pray. We come before you, Lord, humbly. We ask that you search our hearts, make known any sins that we may have committed so that we can repent of them. Because that's what you call us to do. To repent, to turn away from our ways of wickedness and turn towards you, the Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father God, as we come to this day, we profess you as our Lord and Savior. Help us to be bold in that profession. Lord, help us to seek your will and your ways, so that even the way we live our lives is a profession of your grace, your mercy, and your sacrifice. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.